Good evening and welcome to the Pinken Show, our dedicated Norwich City shenanigans that only cried because you got there first. Guys, it's me. It's Bailey, Michael Bailey. We are here at the Woolpack Public House in the centre of Norwich live, and over the next 30 minutes or so, we will bring you all the key Canaries discussions from victory over Leeds, from Wezzo's exit, bring you all the latest Alex Tetti news, of course, reaction, and all the key summer transfer window discussions, as well as a vaguely remembering there is still one more game to play, just about. Not sure where we're going. We'll do this all in the company of a cracking duo in terms of former City first team coach Steve Foley and Vital Norwich editor Nathan Tuck. Gentlemen, it's great to have you both on. How are you doing, Steve?
Fine, thank you. Yeah, looking forward to the last game to see if Ipswich can be above Norwich.
Got there early. We'll be getting back. Nathan, you well?
Yeah, I'm very well, very well.
Very good to hear. Right, we are live on pinken.com and the Pinken Facebook page, and we want to hear from you too, of course. Now, be it on James Maddison tributes, he's not left yet, but of course he is player of the season, as we now know, the Tetti party extension, your questions for Steve, but especially your favourite ever winner of the Barry Butler Memorial Trophy and why, and probably whether or not they were sold afterwards or not. Get all those through to us here in the pub. Simply post your words on the Facebook page and they will ping right through to my phone, all being well. Now, as you can see, Wesley Moulahan has vowed to continue beyond her namesake's departure, and we are delighted to still have her available for the remainder of the season, providing no bigger shows come calling. So, therefore, here are this week's Norwich City headlines. Beautifully done, Nathan. Hashtag thanks, Wes. Tears, deflection, goal, assist, losses of possession, perfection. It was a goodbye to live long in the memory for a player that will do likewise. Here's to you, Wesley Moulahan. Leeds are falling apart again. The not-so-all-white side of Yorkshire were neatly dispatched by Norwich on Saturday. They weren't really in the mood for the occasion on Saturday either. Never mind, guys. Thanks for coming. Tetti, won't you stay another day? Well, yes. The two-year deal has convinced Alex Tetti to remain a Norwich City player until 2020. Big news this, and great news too. We're mad about the boy. James Maddison mops up City's Player of the Season award as expected, and well done to Angus Gunn for coming third. But all hail Grant Hanley too, second place in the voting after arriving at the end of August, and he hadn't started a game until Halloween, a real building block for next season. And finally, all's well that can't well. Todd helps Fortuna Sittard to promotion from the Dutch second tier after a superb loan spell. The Dereham lad is one of numerous players set to return for pre-season who will have more than a bit to prove to his parent club. One more ring, Nathan. We are done. There we go. Gentlemen, before we get too bogged down in what the future holds, let us first reflect how long, Nathan, will last weekend stay in your memory? And, or dare I say it, was it a little overblown?
It's never overblown for Wes Moulahan, is it? I mean, that was a terrific day and a really fitting send-off. I think it even topped you and Robert's send-off, to be honest.
I mean, it's funny, I just saw the anniversary of Ewan's send-off. 7 years he was at the club, so you can add three more on to Wesley Moulahan. I mean, how hard is it, do you think, for players to have that sort of longevity at a football club, Steve?
Well, because of the changeover of managers nowadays, it's very hard, I think. I mean, we were just talking off air about the managers sort of only having maybe 18 months, yeah, or 2 years at a club. So obviously the turnaround of players to last that long, he's done very well.
In terms of fitting send-offs, that was pretty, as well as his goal, I mean, ridiculous that it was.
Yeah, if he'd written that script himself for the day, I doubt he could have made it any better than that, could he?
Absolutely. I mean, is there anything else you'd left to say about Wes Moulahan? I think we need to get it out of the way because it was a long week last week and we spoke a lot about him.
Yeah, we have. I would say he's probably technically the best footballer that I've seen in a Norwich shirt in my watching career, I reckon, which is 30 odd years.
That's a big shout.
That is a big shout, but I think he is.
Is it right that he's not available this weekend? Because Norwich have got a game left. I mean, he is still contracted, but it was such a big finale.
He's got to pack his suitcase, isn't he, this weekend, poor boy? Yeah.
I'm the sun.
Say Darren Huckabee is better than Wes Moulahan. Let's put it that way. There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, I don't think you could argue, really. I mean, that's a real, you know.
Hux will appreciate that after being on the show last week, most definitely.
Both brilliant players.
Both brilliant, exactly. Another one who's pretty good, James Maddison, player of the season. I mean, Steve, remember you were on the show before the derby, and he's the one who's stood out for you. I think we all kind of expect him to move on. Would you expect him to be in the Premier League next year?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they're talking about Liverpool maybe being in job, but I think it'd be two or three clubs, you know. Yeah, he's a good player, full stop, top scorer, you know, from midfield. Whereas Ipswich have got one Waghorn, but he's an actual striker. It's just a matter, I think, just about how much it will be, really.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because Norwich have shown that they like getting their business done pretty early. So while I'm not sure that really constitutes a good way of getting a bidding war going. So whether Norwich are going to... I mean, I'm kind of thinking it might end up being less than 20 million, and I'm kind of wondering how most Norwich fans would react to that.
I think we'd be disappointed. I'd be disappointed in the current market for a young English player of that. All the accolades he's had this season, the goals, the assists, the way he performs on a weekly basis, I'd be disappointed if it goes for less than 20 million.
Grant Hanley, what a player. I mean, to finish second in the Player of the Season reckoning when he really only started playing properly in by sort of Halloween time, I mean, that says a lot about the impact he's made.
The only thing is, I'll say, Mike, although it'd be disappointing if you don't get 30 million, he hasn't played in a Premiership and done it in a Premiership where Mo Salah, everyone's raving about him. He costs Liverpool 30 million, and look at him. You know, and he come from Roma, so, you know, if they get 30 million, I think, snap their hands off.
Absolutely.
That's a great point comparing him to Mo Salah. I quite like that. And we are desperately going to try and get the show done before kickoff in Rome, by the way. Grant Hanley, Nathan, how impressive have you been? Because it strikes me now he's a crucial player going forward for next year.
Absolutely, he's captain material. He's been he has been sensational for us this year. Very strong, surprisingly quick. So really, when I first saw him play, surprised me how fast he is. But when he came, there was a bit of a hangover on social media from Scottish fans who said, oh, he's garbage, you don't want to be buying him. And the same with Newcastle fans who didn't seem to rate him either.
And I think that's almost why Grant Hanley's quite thankful, because I think there were a few clubs who didn't want to take a risk on him. And it's taken him a bit of time to get fit, but Norwich have given him that chance, and away he's gone. He has not looked back at all. Right, let's get some of your messages, shall we? David McKenzie, good evening, gentlemen. Great news on Alex Tetti. Just look at the stats of games won with him and without him. Top player and great character. No Tetti, no party. Simon Meadows, great news about Alex Tetti too. Bragging rights in our hands, refinishing above Ipswich. We'll get to Steve on that in a bit. I hope the squad get the importance of this to us fans. Let's hope that does for both squads. So it's a big thing to play for. Mark Mitchell, will Wes get the flukiest goal of the season award for his goal against Leeds? I don't know. To be honest, Mark, some were saying he did it deliberately. So there you go. There we go. Keep them coming in. Your questions for Steve Foley, your favourite player of the season at Norwich City. We'd love to hear those. Now, you can take in all our post-match videos from the weekend, including my video verdict at pinken.com. That also includes the post-match reaction of Daniel Farker and much more besides. But as a Pinken show bonus, here is some of what the men of the moment, James Maddison and Wes Houlihan, had to say following the emotional win over Leeds. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Yeah, very emotional, but happy. You know, happy we won the game. You know, obviously to go out on a high, scored a goal, and obviously made the goal for Josh. It was nice.
When you were, you know, going to bed last night, and you thought, well, what's today going to be like? Pretty much everything happened, didn't it?
Yeah.
Win, goal, assist. A
brilliant.
Lot.
Yeah, I was just, to be fair, I said to the boys before the game, I just want to win the game, boys. You know, if we don't win, then
all right, then player to you.
It was a great day all around.
I mean, that reception when you went off, it did seem to, you know, well, you took you a while to get off the pitch as well. But,
yeah,
I mean,
I was speaking actually to Simon Labban last night, and he said, make sure you milk her. I said, I'm going to take about a day to come off the pitch, but it wasn't quite that. But I kind of, you know, it's the last time I'm going to be playing here, so I thought I'd milk a little bit.
Yeah, too well, why not? Mm-hmm. I guess we were all a bit worried when Leeds took the lead, but you then take a shot on the stroke of half time that takes a massive deflection, mm-hmm. goes in off both posts.
I don't think it was massive, was it?
Well, it's quite big. I mean, it was quite big. Yeah, not enough to not claim it, definitely.
Yeah,
but I mean,
it took a eternity to go in, bounce off the post, and obviously going across the goal. And you know, I think 27,000 fans were cheering it on. So it was sucked right in, and it was great to see you go in.
James, one hell of an occasion here at Carrow Road. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a lot to take in, to be honest, because
I think everyone was kind of emotional for Wes in a way, and it was a brilliant day. I mean, the reception the fans gave Wes and the team on the whole throughout the whole game was just brilliant, and it's a day I won't forget. Yeah.
You see that goal go in as well from Wes like that, both posts, massive deflection, and someone's on his side at that point.
I know, I've never seen a goal go in so slow. I think I was just stood there waiting for it to go in, my fingers crossed, thinking please go in because he deserves it. But listen, it's written in the stars for Wesley to score today and to get an assist as well, and he was brilliant, especially in the second half. Showed everyone what he's about, even at the age of 35, going on 36, still producing moments of magic where he can sit defenders on their bum. And yeah, what a man, what a guy. And as I just said in there, I can't speak highly enough of Wes Hoolan. He's such a good figure around the dressing room, honestly. Just to see him go off, I was even getting a bit emotional watching him get emotional, you know, as he was leaving the pitch with a tear in his eye. But you see what it means to him, and the fans have to, I know they do, they appreciate what he's done in the last 10 years, because it's very rare you get that in football these days. And yeah, I think just the word legend describes him.
Later on, when you were at Blackpool, I think Ipswich were trying to...
Yeah, I don't know. Probably Norwich. Norwich is only on my mind.
Got to ask you, where's Cantona?
Yeah.
None of us really knew about it.
No, wanted to keep it a secret, obviously. a bit embarrassing, probably. Cantona was my idol, and growing up, and I picked as my confirmation name.
You asked your, oh, was your confirmation
I asked
name?
Yeah, confirmation name, yeah. So Wesley Patrick Cantona.
How old were you when you asked to do that?
I was about 13, yeah. 13 I was, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you colour up. When you walked out and the sight there,
it was great, you know. And you know, fair play to Stuart and the board for organising the Guard of Honour and giving me this day, you know. I really appreciated it.
Was it the happiest you've been to be substituted? Because I was kind of thinking that you never probably would want to come off a football pitch.
No, obviously, you know, we wanted to, because we were playing well at the time, and wanted obviously keep going and win the game. But the boss spoke to me at half time and said, we'll take you off with 5-10 minutes to go, and I really enjoyed it.
And I've just got to ask you about the side and the club that you're leaving behind. Some fans will look at the season overall and be pretty disappointed and wonder about where it's heading, in all honesty. What do you see that's left here and going forwards?
Yeah, going forward, you know, they're building a new training ground, a new gym there, new facilities, and you know, there's a structure in place. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take maybe a year or two to get going the way Daniel wants to play. So give him time, and hopefully we will have a great season next year.
I think we joked up at Middlesbrough that you always end up getting asked about Wes Hoolan whenever you do an interview, so that's kind of been the story. Yeah. But I mean, as for today, I mean, player of the season for yourself as well, that was a key moment. That's a major thing. I mean, to have that recognition over the course of an entire season from all these fans in here.
Yeah, I've exceeded expectations, you know, and I just said to the press in there, I even got a bit emotional myself when I knew I'd had a good season. I knew the fans would like me, but when you hear your name get read out for player of the season, it's a special moment, and to see the fans get up on their feet and give me a standing ovation and stuff, it's a moment I'll treasure forever.
Is it that consistency that's probably pleased you most about this season?
Definitely. I knew I had the quality to go and produce it, but at a young age, and even if I'm critical of myself, in my times at Coventry and Aberdeen, maybe I've showed glimpses, but maybe not that consistency at a young age. And I always watch the games back, and I've been so happy with the consistency of my performance. Maybe in the last few weeks, I think it's dropped a little bit from my standards. But I'm a self-critical guy, so I'd say that anyway. But I can't thank them enough. Yeah.
Inevitable question, but today was Wes's last game here at Carrow Road. Was it yours?
We'll have to see. I mean, I haven't focused on anything else apart from playing at the minute, and like I said to the press in the conference a couple of weeks ago, I just want to finish the season as strongly as possible. I've got one more game left. I want to go get a goal, I want to go have a good performance, and then we'll see what happens in the summer.
I mean, I guess today was a lot about sending a kind of signal, horrible word way of describing it, but showing what you've got going into next year, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the team plays so well today, and we've got players like, I think Mario Vandrich was outstanding today, and he's going to be a big part next year, and players like Tom Tribal coming back from injury, Granty at the back, solid. So there's a good spine there, and we just haven't showed it on enough occasions this season, but there's definitely positives to take into next season.
Brilliant stuff there from Madison and Wes Hoolan. Of course, Simon Meadows, hope Wes comes to play some sort of role with Norwich City in time, as from his interview he has clearly indicated he would like to do this. and what an inspiration to future players. He's a man who has no idea what he's going to do beyond football and playing, which may well mean that he's back at Carrow Road in some capacity or other, and it would of course be great to have Wes around. Now, I did want to turn attention slightly to this little slide here, which Dan's going to pop up. It's the 11 plus the substitutes as City took on Leeds on Saturday. Of course, Norwich won 2-1. It doesn't include Alex Tetti, who, as we know, has signed a new two-year deal. And don't worry, I haven't forgotten about Alex Tetti. We'll be discussing him in a moment. But it's interesting, you've got three lone players there. We already know Wes Houlihan is leaving. The big question, of course, is who else won't be here next season? Nathan, go and have a stab, because no one really knows yet. It's all guesswork.
No, well, Angus Gunn is a certainty to not be back, unfortunately. The only way he would have stayed is if we'd gone to the Premier League, I think. Obviously, Harrison Reed is another one who's on loan, and I think his fate will depend, although he said he'd like to come back, much will depend on whether Southampton stay up or not. If they go down, he's exactly the sort of player I would expect they would want. And Moritz Leitner, well, what a player he is. If we could get him to replace, I suppose, the inevitable loss of Maddison as a number 10, then that may go some way to fill in that slot. But other than that, I'd like to think we're not going to lose too many. Oliveira, he's obviously a question mark, as is Tim Closer, perhaps, with only a year left on his contract, a sizeable wage each week, and he's worth a few quid as well, I should think.
To me, Tim Close is the unsung hero of this season. I think he's been fantastic, and almost I think a few people have taken that for granted. Steve, Norwich, I've already said they want to recruit strikers. They've struggled to score goals this year. Is that the hardest position to recruit?
Without doubt, I think everyone wants a goal scorer. You know, no disrespect to Maddison, 15 goals, but you know, you need someone up front doing that. And if you've got someone like Maddison doing that behind him, then fine. But if you look at that and you lose three or four plus Maddison, it's a lot of work to be done.
And something that Daniel Farker has already said he doesn't really want to have to happen next year, but he knows the reality of the situation, of course. Ian Honeyman, Todd Cantwell looks like the real deal, could soften the blow of losing Maddison, which is a fair point, and one will see how it, of course, pans out over the summer. But what a time he's had in Holland. What's another one here? Joachim Broberg, we have many midfielders for next season, too many maybe. What to do with them all? Might not be so much of an issue when next season starts, but Kenny McLean coming back, of course. One midfielder we do know that's staying is Alex Tetti, confirmed about an hour ago or so. He has signed a new two-year deal. The only real out-of-contract player there was a question mark over. He will be at Norwich for the next 2 years. He's taken a huge pay cut to stay on as well. Offers a lot of experience for what's going to be a young group of players next year. And your mate, Nathan, has made sure that he stayed on.
Yeah, at the dinner the other night, the end-of-season dinner, a mate of mine, Lee, was sitting on a table with him, and they had a little chat about this. And it turns out that Alex's child is going to go to the same school as Lee's in September. He's very much a family man, and he decided that he'd obviously struggle to leave his family behind if he went to play somewhere else, and he didn't want to uproot them. So after a bit of cajoling from Lee, he's decided to sign on.
Well done, Lee. Ten points, Lee. Thanks from all Norwich City fans.
Yeah.
I hope he is getting a cut. Alex Tetti's been at the club for a fair while, Steve. He's done it in the Premier League as well. And that experience when you've got a young group of players must be so important.
Oh, yeah, it's massive. Going on to the Ipswich situation, they had about 6-7 youngsters in. Average age of 23, so it can be done. Beat Reading 4-0. Not going to say it happens all the time, but obviously you've got to give some kids a chance, and it's when you do that. It's very hard for a manager when to do it.
Gavin Codman's been in touch. I hope we're able to keep hold of Harrison Reed. Always gives 100%. He's certainly been very useful this year, most definitely. Will Butler, should the club pursue Harrison Reed on a permanent deal? I think the issue is he's probably on a fair whack at Southampton, and as you said, Nathan, will depend on how much on what division they're in as well, of course. Mark Mitchell, Wes should be picked for the Legends game against Inter Milan. Well, he is now eligible.
Absolutely. Yeah, why not? Get him in there.
We can do it all again. We can get all the mosaics in. Yeah. We can do the lap of honour, all that sort of stuff. It'd be brilliant. And Lisa Jack, here we go. My glass is half full. Provided we don't lose on Sunday, it would mean we have lost fewer games than last season. If we have turned four of those draws into wins, we would have been right on the cusp of promotion, considering all the changes. I think it's fantastic. Sel Maddison recruit Harry Wilson from Liverpool, who tore Norwich apart at Hull. He looks a very useful player. He'd fit in nicely into the plan. Throw Jack Marriott from Peterborough. I think he'd cost too much. Probably cost a lot.
Ipswich.
They all are, aren't they, at some point? The amount of players Ipswich have chucked out in years. Well, Lisa would be happy. Job done, she says. Always good. We've discussed Alex Tetti. That's obviously great news. We've had the loanies. Who is the one who has to still be here next season, Nathan?
The one who... Well, I'd say Grant Hanley, because he looks to me like he's going to be the captain, I would say. His performances at the back have been tremendous. So I would go for Hanley.
And one other thing that Neil Austin has brought up. Thanks, Neil. McGovern or Matthews, Remy Matthews, who, of course, is on loan at Peterborough at the moment, are they to be in the sticks next season? Hoping Guns will come back... going to happen, Neil, sorry, but Remy Matthews, I mean, he's done really well, and only a division below Norwich. I mean, he's not played in the Championship before, but I think he's really highly rated at Carrow Road, and that makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. When he went to Plymouth, I think I'm right in saying they were really struggling, relegation battle, and he's done a lot there and got some rave reviews at the sort of local press there.
Fingers crossed. We will see. Right. Let's have a bit of a brief respite, shall we, from the chat, and so we make sure we get done before Liverpool kicks off, and have a bit of this. Yes, it's Flip the Bird, when last time out, City legend Darren Huckabee, your old pal, Steve, and season ticket holder Chris Elliott scored 8 apiece, leaving the pair well up in the standings, and Chris adding a mat to his previous best. Nathan and Steve are both here to improve on their previous bests of 4.5 and 5, respectively. That's because you've got half the time this time, Nathan, before you start getting a bit worried. So, guys, there's your pile. You can have half each, I suppose. Let's prep it already. We haven't prepped it, so I assume you remember how to do it.
So it's like, grab one, then add one.
Flip it, grab one, away you go. It'll be absolutely perfect. You have 30 seconds to do as many as you can. The winner can take a selfie with Wesley Moulahan if they wish. But these guys are primed. They've got no prep time. Dan's ready with the clock. Ready, Dan?
3, 2, 1, go.
And we are away. Nathan with a start. I can't watch any of these anymore without thinking of Richard Bulls just churning out the beer mats on his remarkable effort.
Used to live in a pub.
Well, and Steve Cook, he used to live in a pub as well. Oh, do the pile, Steve, do the pile. As a pile. That's it. Grab hold of them all. Do them all.
Sorry.
You're right. That's fine. This is a problem we didn't practice. Yeah, Steve's on like, I'm on 44. Well, that was one of the more untidy games of Flip the Bird. It was like the prospect of not having Wes Hulen at the end. Steve, what should we give you there?
4.
All right, we'll take a 4. I love that. That's literally how it works. Yeah. Nathan?
I think I seem to have 5.
5? Brilliant. Well, we'll take it. That'll do. Well done, lads. I don't think that'll get repeated in any...
No,
I don't think that'll get repeated in any classic games, but, you know, at least it gave us a break from chatting from it. So there we go. Well done, everyone. Right, after all that excitement, this is time where I like us to really catch up with our guests. So, Steve Foley, you are now officially job done at Ipswich Town. You are no longer an Ipswich Town employee. Is this correct?
That's dead right. I'm now a free agent as such. I do a bit of part-time work over at Needham Market, and I'm enjoying that. And the thing is, I'm enjoying it that much that I have chucked Ipswich Town into touch as such.
Some in these parts will understand that decision in entirely, and it does mean you now don't have any lingering allegiances to either club. Are you a Colchester United fan now?
Well, obviously, because that's where I started, I support them, and but I can go where I want. If we've got some good young boys, I'll be posting them around. And the idea of it is to try and find, which all non-league clubs are trying to do, the next Jamie Vardy, you know, and I'm sure there's one out there.
So you'll keep involved in football at Needham. Will you look to do anything on top of that, or do you feel it's sort of winding down time?
I'm winding down. I mean, Daryl Russell asked me to go out to America. Paul Dalglish asked me to go out to the States. I've had various offers abroad, and to be fair, I've now grand old age of 65 in June. So I've got a little grandson, and I want to spend a bit more time with him, to be fair.
And that's, I guess it's hard when you're in the bubble, isn't it? Because, you know, family doesn't always come first when you're trying to join clubs and coach and manage and all these sort of things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had the spell when I was obviously at Norwich for 10, 11 years. And I look back at that time, and that's why I got great fond memories of Norwich. That was my best time as a coach, you know, not only because we were successful, but I actually, it is a very good club, they're good people, and I really enjoy my time there.
Is it fair to say that you might help Norwich dig out the odd player in future? Or?
Yes, I mean, as I say, I'm a free agent, so we come across a boy, I'll be telling him to whoever, because I'm on about this boy, I want to help him. You know, someone gave me a chance, and now 40, 50 years later, I'm still involved with football, which is great.
Well, if you find a really pacey 21-year-old striker, that'd be awesome. Yes. We'll take him, definitely. If he can get about 40 goals a season, we'll take him, definitely. How about you, Nathan? I mean, I must confess, while I was doing my journalism career, I was writing for Vital Norwich. It's a bit of experience, so I enjoyed it. I mean, you still enjoy looking after
the
side?
I do, yeah. I pretty much do it all on my own. I get a little help here and there, but mostly it's much to my wife's annoyance. It's whilst she's watching EastEnders, I'm tapping away writing something.
You know? I love it. That's a million. It's good to share and all that sort of stuff. And are you good friends with Coop and Ducks? Aren't you from the Coop and Ducks podcast? We've had the guys on.
Yeah. I think I met Coop actually on Mustard TV is how I got to meet. Yeah. Back a few years ago. Yeah. So that was how we kind of got connected.
Well, it's good for us to help you out.
Absolutely.
And the guys are brilliant stuff. Okay, well, there is only one round of fixtures to go, so there is still a lot as well to play for in the Championship. So I think we should have a look at the Championship as it stands now. I'll let the boys have a look at our little slides here, and you can have a look too. And especially, we should look at the bottom, where it's now 2 from 5 to join Sunderland and their new owners and manager in League One next season, whoever that new manager is. The fact Burton still have hope is remarkable. The sight of Reading being done 4-0 at home to Ipswich last weekend will have the Royals very worried indeed. And the astute of you will notice we finally got to do the top half after the bottom half, because Norwich are back in it. It's the highest they can finish. 12th is the highest they can finish, and they just need to match the final results of Ipswich and Leeds to do it. Cardiff are still primed to finish second, but Fulham will be hoping to pip them. Alec Neil's Preston could yet finish in the top six, with only Derby the ones in danger. So, what about these? If Cardiff beat Reading, they go up. If Reading lose, they could be in serious trouble. But Burton have it tough at Deepdale, likewise Barnsley at Derby. The same can't be said for Bolton, who host Nottingham Forest, although all is far from well at the Trotters. St Andrews hosts the remaining game that has something significant riding on it. In contrast, Wolves will bid for 100 points, having become champions without playing the bottom side twice, which is quite remarkable. And in fact, only Derby, Hull and Norwich have failed to beat Sunderland this season. Remarkable story that Ellis Short has sold the club, written off all the debt, and they've now got new owners. Can you believe that?
No, I mean, he's obviously got rid of Chris Coleman, paid him up. He's obviously got a lot of money, because he's, you know, for me, he's chucked a lot of money away there.
That goes down as one of the worst pieces of business we've ever seen in football. Yet Sunderland, I mean, what a gesture. I know it's hideous what's happened, but what a gesture for them.
Yeah, I guess so. It gives them that start, doesn't it? But they're in such a turmoil. You'd think with all the money that they have, I think they've still got a year's worth of parachute payments, haven't they? Which they're going to have like another 10, 11 million pounds come to them next season. And there'll be teams in that league who are running on shirt buttons, you know, don't have anything like that. But that doesn't guarantee success, does it?
And they'll still be presumably paying Jack Rodwell off, I guess, wherever he is. Wherever he is.
And everyone will want to beat them. Everyone will want to beat Sunderland.
Everyone will, as Norwich experience, yeah. So it'll be fascinating. It might not be so much fun for Norwich at Hillsborough, we'll get onto that in a bit, but there is loads going on elsewhere, Steve. I mean, these are great weekends, aren't they, when there's so much riding on and the emotions.
I think they become just as exciting about who's already going up. I think Cardiff will win, so they'll go up. But going down, I look at this, and the three are in it at the moment. They're going to do well to get out. I mean, Bolton are home to Notts Forest, so maybe they might get the 3 points. Burton away, no, I...
They've all got things riding on it, haven't they? Yeah. They're all the teams that are in trouble have got something. They're playing against teams who've got something
certainly,
to play for.
Certainly squeaky bum time, as they say.
I just wonder about a fear for Reading, definitely. Burton, just remarkable that they're in this position to save themselves, as bad as the game was at the Pirelli at the end of the year.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, that's a. But they've done really well in recent weeks, and when they beat Sunderland a couple of weeks ago, I mean, just wow. That was a huge game for both of them.
Emma Hart, Uncle Steve, long time no see. You look well. Keep smiling.
Oh, good girl.
Emma. Is that an actual relation, or is she just calling you Uncle Steve?
I'll better find out quick, otherwise my wife will wonder what's going on.
Nice to have you on the show, Emma. I appreciate it. Ian Honeymoon, Mummy said it's time for you to do your homework, Tom. Oh, that's one of the comments. Sorry, I should read these comments before I read them out. Tom's been very excited about lots of things on the Pinken feed. You should check it out. And Jamie Walsh, can you say hello to Steve Foley from Bob Welsh in Clacton? He sends his regards. Bob Welsh sends his
regards. Bob Welsh. All of these people on this programme, Michael, aren't it? We're double digit.
You're always a popular man, my man. Always a popular man. So, the season ends on Sunday. Remember, Sunday. I'll say that to myself as well, so I don't end up there on Saturday. All games kick off at 12:30, so it's early kickoff. Sheffield Wednesday awake. Their season has arguably been worse than Norwich's, to be honest.
Yeah, and until Fernando Forestieri's become fit again, they've not really looked like doing anything at all. And I think they were, at the start of the season, they were probably one of the teams you would bet to be challenging around the top six.
And they spent so much money, Steve. I mean, they're the classic case of money doesn't guarantee you success, to the point where now a lot of those players are old. They're looking to ship them off and save some money. And, you know, almost, I did see one Wednesday blog suggest that following Norwich's model might be something that they would look to do.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you know, like Sunderland as a classic example as well. But it's just not down to money. And then, yeah, going back to the Sunderland situation, they've had some very good managers there as well. You know, David Moyes, blah, 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 Chris Coleman, obviously. So this is what makes football so good, isn't it? We just don't know what's going to happen.
It's probably a bit pertinent given what happened at the weekend, but Hillsborough, Norwich have ended their season a few times there. And one time they lost 4-1 whilst Dion Dublin and Darren Huckabee... Well, Dion Dublin got his farewell and Darren Huckabee kind of looked a little bit lost, not knowing whether he was coming or going on the pitch.
No, and it that's a game that I look at and just think, oh, we need to at least match Ipswich's result on the day, don't we? And I don't know, they're at home. Everyone wants to have a win at the end of the season, and Sheffield Wednesday will be desperate for that, I'm sure.
I'm really worried because I think with everything that happened last weekend, it just feels like a game too far.
And it's last week, shouldn't it? Yeah, really. The season should have ended last week. That would have been great.
We'd almost be better off Norwich not playing and seeing if Ipswich lose. And then, you know, it's in their hands. So we're almost at that stage, aren't we? Yeah. Nathan, you gave us an 11 of the side you would pick for the Norwich City's last game of the season. Talk us through it.
I don't think there's any surprises in it, really. When I look at that, the only sort of real change that I've made there is I've put Anel Hernandez in place of the sadly lost Wes Houlihan. I think Oliveira did enough last week against Leeds to warrant keeping his place. And Harrison Reed stays at right back for me because I think he's a better defender than Ivo Pinto.
I've heard a few people talk about this. I'm not buying it personally. I would still have Ivo in because I think he's a more rounded position.
His pace gets him out into and out of trouble.
and incredibly isolated half the time as well when he's playing. I mean, Norwich have really struggled with their fullbacks. I mean, when you have seen Norwich, Steve, what have you made of them? Because, you know, some of it's been good and some of it's been really hit and miss.
I think most where they are is dead right. Middle of the table, you see him on a good day, you think, Faber. And as we all know, going back to the boy Madison, you take him out of it, they're going to be below bottom half. But I think they can go and get a result, no problem. Everyone can relax a little bit, they're not in trouble. All they've got to do is get above Ipswich, Ipswich against Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough are definitely in the playoffs no matter what, so they might rest a couple for the playoffs. So you just don't know what's going to go on. I mean, Ipswich winning 4-0 at Reading before the game, you wouldn't have said that. No. You just don't know. That's what's great.
That's true. All right, then. Well, so what's the result going to be on Sunday? I knew I'd do that. Sunday, Nathan.
I'm going to go an optimistic 2-2 draw.
Okay. I'm not making a prediction because I'm not saying what I think. And Steve, who's going to finish higher, Norwich or Ipswich?
I think Norwich will finish higher. There we go.
Man, appreciate that. Lisa Jack, I am going to Sheffield on Sunday. Lisa, well done. And the bonus of staying over for the bank holiday with relatives in sunny Grimsby. Ever been to Blundell? I presume that means never been to Blundell Park. I've been. Let's hope it's sunny, because you don't really want to be there when there's a storm coming off the sea. But enjoy your weekend, Lisa. I hope the trip is worth it. That is it from us for tonight. Remember, you can catch this show and all our superb Norwich City coverage on the Pinken Facebook page and YouTube channel. But of course, first and foremost, pinken.com. Thanks to all the crew. When I say all the crew, I basically mean Dan, who's the only one doing it on his own. Well done, Dan. Thank you so much to Steve and to Nathan for coming and joining us tonight. Always a pleasure, gents. Much appreciated. To everyone here at the Wallpack, and of course, to you guys for watching and getting involved. I will be at Hillsborough on Sunday, 12:30 kickoff, remember. That will be alongside Paddy Davitt and Dave Freezer. So make sure you keep tabs on pinken.com for all the build-up, team news, live coverage, reaction and analysis. And if you see us around, make sure you say hello. Good luck to Kings Lynn Town tonight in the playoffs, of course, and Ian Culverhouse, who is boss there, for now, at least. The Pinken Show returns one more time this season. That will be next Wednesday, here again at the Woolpack on Golden Ball Street in the centre of Norwich. We'll be live at the slightly earlier time of 6:30. We're hoping to have a few guests with us, and we do want as many of you City fans to come down and share your views here at the pub. So hopefully we will see you then, be it on here or in here. In the meantime, here's to Sunday. One more game. Hopefully it won't do anything to dampen the sights and sounds of a memorable day on Saturday when Norwich City said goodbye to a true Canaries legend. Missing you already, Wes. Good night.